All right, it is time to start the Central Committee meeting of the Maryland Libertarian Party. Thank you to everyone coming out today. I personally want to thank Stu Sims and Crystal Woodward for organizing this event. Also, be sure to take care of Angela, who has been the server, bartender, and hostess, tipped well. We got to be out of here by 4. It's not like the old days of Squire where we would linger till 4:30. There is, my understanding that there's a bar or a distillery downstairs.
In the basement level.
Okay, so we shall adjourn there afterwards for some libations and chat. We do want to get out of here by 4, plus I stated to someone who was a former bartender, and there's nothing worse than at 1:30, quarter to trying to get drunks out of the room so you go home and get some sleep. Okay, I want to welcome, of course, Dr. Jim Lark, our regional rep, the gold standard of regional reps, who's back in the corner. Chris will be drinking with us afterwards, probably why he's here. I also want to welcome, I don't know if where he is, but Joe Bishop Henchman, also one of the at-large reps, and his husband Pete are here from D.C. Thank you for coming out. On a somber note, it was brought to my attention yesterday that one of our members, Michael White, passed away, I believe, this week. I don't know the details of it. My understanding was it was on his Facebook page. Michael was from St. Mary's County. He was the head of the Southern Maryland group. Didn't know him well, but he, you know, times out around, he was a lot of fun. He was a good guy. Please keep his wife Amy in your prayers, along with the victims from yesterday's shooting at the synagogue in Southern California. To participate in the meeting, you need to be a member of the Central Committee, which means you must be a dues-paying member of the state party. Dues are $20 per year, and your membership must be up to date as of today. You must live in the state. You cannot be registered with the Democrats, Republicans, or Brendan Rose's party. And you must agree to the principles in Article 2 of our state party constitution. Dr. Glazer, if you would you read the list of what you have right now as Central Committee members?
Dina Mod, Tom Ashwell, Eric Blitz, Michael Downs, David Dahl, Robert Glazer, Robert Johnston, Mike Linder, Stuart Sims, Crystal Woodworth, Ron King, Scott Spencer, Jonathan Woodworth.
Is there anybody who's not on that list who thinks they should be on the list or wants to be on the list?
I thought I was on the list. Take
one. Don Temple, please here. Don Temple, Queen Anne's County.
Gotcha.
Who else? Jonathan York.
Yeah, Jonathan
Grass.
Okay, so you were not previously in the Central Committee. Do you agree with everything that Bob just said?
Yes.
Bo Bailey, Anne Arundel County.
Same thing.
Yep. Yes.
Anybody else whose name was not mentioned? Your membership was due, but I'm sorry, I took so long to let you know last night that your membership had expired in March.
Okay, can I re-up right now?
You can pay by cash check, and all credit cards accepted. Okay.
Well, I would like to be on the
list. So you haven't been on the
committee?
No, I'm not committee.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
And don't stand in Baltimore County. My fellow Gundolfian.
Yeah. Okay, same thing with you. You were not previously, but you wish to be now.
Yes.
Anybody else? Ian Sibyl, Baltimore City.
Same situation.
I agree.
Anybody else? Okay. Robert, the credentials report. While he's doing that, if you're not a member of the Central Committee, you can still participate. If you want to have a question or make a point, raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you, and as long as you get permission of the body, we'll certainly acknowledge your request. In addition to hearing the officers' reports, Dr. Lark will be also giving a report on with the Libertarian National Committee, and we will have, I believe, four potential changes to the amendments to our state party's the state party constitution, and also a proposed change to the state party program, as well as elections to the executive board.
We have 19 central committee members present, and of a total of 35, and no proxies have been presented.
Okay, therefore we have a quorum. Very good, thank you. And may we now it's time for the approval of the minutes. The minutes are posted on our website, usually within a week after the last central committee meeting. The last central committee meeting was on August the 18th at our picnic at Dave Spence in Northeast Maryland. Are there any questions or issues regarding those minutes? Is there any objection to passing the minutes as is? Hearing none, minutes are so moved. The Treasurer's Report, Mr. Linder.
About 4 or 5 minutes ago, I gave a copy to everyone who was sitting down. Everyone didn't get a copy that wishes to look at one.
Thank you.
So I'm brought back actually. Would anybody else? So, you had a chance to look at it. Basically, we covered 6 months because that was a request from like a year ago or whatever, just to, but basically, you see, there most of it comes either general contributions, state memberships, and then certain events. We have like annual conventions, which we're at this spring. And I guess most of you can read it. It's anything there you don't see or understand.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Linder regarding the Treasury report?
Lawsuit filing fees for just filing fees, or is that something else?
It costs $400 and it was $20. What was the word she used?
That was for the federal trade appearance fee?
Yeah, it was some other fee. She supposedly said it got waived, but she never sent me back the check. Oh.
Okay.
I had to.
But that's probably what $420 was for.
Correct.
That was the federal.
That was the. April stand up, not become the judge. All right, if you have any questions later on, just feel free to ask me. And if, I believe everybody in here is paid up for this dinner, so I think we'll clear that. And I believe if anybody's not renewed their state membership, I think I've already got the money from you. So appreciate that. So,
is there any objection to passing the treasurer's report? Hearing none, so moved. Thank you, Mr. Linder. Okay, the chair's report. Right now, membership is at 88. We've got a late start in doing the renewals for March and April, which is when most of the renewals do come up. I apologize for that. As far as voter registration, by now, all of you should have received a letter stating that there is no more, the Libertarian Party of Maryland is no longer recognized. And we are now other dash libertarian, I believe that's what it is. What they will do is segregate our registered voters along with the Greens, and then once we're able to get back on the ballot, whether through petitioning or through a lawsuit, then we will get our voter registrations back, which was well over 20. Do you remember, Stu, what the number was?
I can look it up, but I think we're at like 22,000 change.
Okay. We are suing the state of Maryland over. We would have, since we get ballot access, we would have to do a petition to get at least 10,000 signatures. Since we have over 22,000 registered voters, people are willing to give up their ability to vote in the primary election. We thought it was silly that we already have the support of more than double the amount of signatures necessary. I would like to call on Mr. Blitz to speak briefly on the lawsuit and answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. So just before the end of the year, we filed suit against the state of Maryland and some of the functionaries to challenge both the petition requirement as applied, so that's an as-applied constitutional challenge, and against the second count, it involves a challenge to the validation requirements for signatures. As some of you who have done petitioning in the past in the state will recall, Maryland has one of the tougher provisions for validating signatures. In 2010, they actually used some of our petition information that they had said they wouldn't accept. They had used it to correct their own database. So right now, we about 2 months ago, we went and asked for what's called a temporary restraining order. This was just before those letters came out to try to stop the state from engaging in that. That was caused by the fact that we had thought we had an agreement with them not to do that, but unfortunately, because the Bread and Roses Party was certified, they no longer had the flexibility to maintain our status in the interim. We lost that temporary restraining order. The lawsuit is a difficult one in that the Fourth Circuit has supported the idea of dual-track systems where that is a state that says it's easier to get onto the ballot or become a party than it is to maintain your party status. And that, because that has been validated by the Fourth Circuit, it makes our argument very tough. We may have more success on the second count, but right now we're at the status of a motion to dismiss. It's been filed by the state. We filed our reply, and they have filed their response to that reply. It has not been scheduled for argument or disposition, and it's very possible that they would just rule without a hearing, oral hearing. Any questions?
What's the reasonable time frame?
For the motion to dismiss?
Well,
a motion to dismiss should be resolved in the next month, I would guess, depending on that judge's docket and the, law clerks. If we sustain the motion to dismiss, that is, it's denied, they can file a motion for summary judgment. Because their motion in election law is a little twisted, the motion to dismiss is very similar to a motion for summary judgment. They might not do that. The merits could take 8 months to resolve. So I don't anticipate that this judge is going to give expedited review.
Yes. Are you telling those people?
Yes.
No. Who's your judge?
I don't know. That Mark Granis is the lawyer. I'm just helping supervise Mr. Granis, our lawyer.
It was a female who's a Bush appointee, if that helps. That's all I can tell you.
Ellen Holland?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Because of the way the TRO is handled, you have to make a case that you're likely to succeed on the merits. And there's a couple other standards as well, but that was the one where the judge was pretty clear that she didn't think we were likely to succeed on the merits. So we're rolling uphill.
This might not be the question for you, Eric, but if this lawsuit doesn't go through, do we have a contingency plan for getting on the ballot or our ballot access?
Yeah, we've already started planning the petitioning process. I was going to announce this later, but we're going to have an event on June 8th to start training some volunteers and get a lot of new volunteers in. people in petitioning to take a little bit of practice and experience. We also have our local groups that are going to be doing it at fairs And, you know, once you start asking these kind of questions, I can talk about it. Thank you, Mr. Woods. Mr. Peck, I have a question for you. Rough number, what would you say, how many gun owners would you say there are in the state of Maryland?
There are a lot of gun owners, if you include hunters and long guns and hunting rifles. There's a lot of pistols, too. The sales in Maryland of pistols is roughly 40,000 a year. They doubled that before the handgun took the...
Hundreds of thousands of gun owners, would you say?
Yeah, hundreds of thousands.
Wouldn't it be great if they voted for the only two-way gubernatorial candidate, Sean Coyne? We wouldn't be here.
I would be happy if they simply became aware of what their state legislators were doing so they could actually express their views. So people are remarkably complacent until they become criminals. And then they force one of them to have an ad hoc arbitrary way. So if you're a little bit come within the displeasure of law enforcement, then you can expect to see this course of years or an ad hoc.
Thank you, Mr. Peck. In the meantime, regarding the petition, we will need, assuming if we don't win the lawsuit, we will need to have it collect at least 10,000 signatures from registered voters in the state due the first Monday in August of next year. One of the good things is that the signatures have a two-year shelf life. The bad thing is the petition standards, it's not enough to sign Robert Johnston. I have to sign Robert S. Johnston III. So when you're getting signatures, make sure you get that middle initial, any suffixes, junior or senior, or if they're a doctor, and be sure to segregate them by county. When you take a box and down to Annapolis, they just segregate them and send them out to the county. So if there are signatures that don't belong in that county, they're going to get shunned. So that's where we are right now on that. In the meantime, once we do get back on the ballot, the races that will be up for 2020 are, of course, U.S. President, the 8 U.S. House seats here in Maryland, and the partisan seats in Baltimore City. I believe there are 15 council-managed seats, as well as mayor, auditor, president of the city council. I'm not sure if there is
a controller.
Controller?
Yeah, I think the auditor is not an elected position, but the controller.
Okay. Okay. But there are no other state legislative seats that will be up other than those. Any questions? Hearing none, I would now like to invite Dr. Lark, our regional rep, he would just tell us a little bit what's going on. For those who have not met Dr. Lark, he's a professor of structural engineering at UVA in Charlottesville. He has been our regional representative since 2004. Makes all our events, all around great guy. Please give him a hand.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'll use my stentorian voice here because the sound doesn't seem to carry back to where I was seated. So, first of all, it is a great pleasure, as always, to see you. One of the people ask me, why do I take the time to drive up here, and it's 3 freaking hours, really, really fast traffic to get up here. It's because I happen to be in the presence of a lot of heroes, people who work indefatigably in favor of individual liberty and personal responsibility. It's always a great pleasure and a great honor to be with you. Basically, what I'll do is I'll just give you a few little tidbits about what's going on as I see it at the national level. Then I'll be happy to open up for questions. Let me note, by the way, that once you start doing your petitioning, I will be happy to come up and help out a little bit with the petitioning. I've actually done that in Maryland before. I remember very clearly in 1991 gathering petition signatures. I went up to a gentleman at a library and said, sir, may I get you to sign for the Libertarian Party? And his response was, and that was so much fun, I need to come back and do it. Basically, at the national level, I think we're sort of skating along. I think things are okay. We certainly, we're recovering from some budgetary problems. The lady who served as our acting executive director, Lauren Doherty, did, I think, a very good job in helping us get through what was a rough little patch with respect to some financial matters. We now have a new executive director, Dan Fishman, who was from the Boston area. He actually run for office as a libertarian. He just started, I think it was the 15th of April was his first day in the office. I've had the opportunity to talk to a couple people who seem to feel he's just getting his feet wet, so to speak, at the national office. But he's a good fellow. I think he'll do a good job for us. Party membership is, I decided to go back and look at where we were in July of 2014 when Nick When Nick Starwark became national chair, we were at that point in terms of people who were actually members who had signed the certification and were actually paying dues on a yearly basis. We were at 14,260. I'm pleased to say that we have increased now to 14,271.
Woo-hoo!
So I mention this because membership has not been moving forward as we would like. I think one of the points we have to go out and do a better job of getting people to be involved, not only in terms of helping out with our various activities, but also actually signing on the dotted line and helping out financially as well. I will throw out this is sort of my seat of the pants view of some things that are going on. I think next year is going to be an extremely challenging one for us. And I mention this because I participate in a group called the Fourth Thursday So On in my neck of the woods. Basically a nice dinner party on the fourth Thursday of every month where a group of libertarians get together and actually talk about ideas. And it was interesting, we had some libertarians from outside the area who were there this past Thursday evening. And one of the things that was a very interesting theme was what's coming up in 2020, because, of course, Joe Biden had just decided he was going to run. He actually talked about Charlottesville, city of Charlottesville, and what had happened in 2017. And my long-winded peroration, there's actually a point to this. Several people were talking about that as bad as Donald Trump is, and he's bad, what is likely to emerge from the Democratic Party is going to be even worse. And I mention this because I suspect we're going to see the same phenomenon we've seen frequently, but perhaps not as strongly in the past, and that is this election is just so important. We've got to vote for the lesser of evils.
Never heard that before.
No. Well, I've tried to clue you in. My feeling is it's going to be worse this time around because many of those who are seeking the nomination of the Democratic Party are embracing big government in a big way. And one of my friends who is libertarian by any metric you wish to employ is basically saying, please God, let Donald Trump win compared to the Democrats. So I bring this up. I don't know what you're seeing here in Maryland, but I'm already seeing some advanced warning signs of what may be a very, very difficult year for us next year. And I think that it's going to require a lot of effort on our part to make sure our message gets out, because the Republicans will have a very strong incentive to say, well, as bad as we are, they're even worse. And that's one of the nice things, by the way, I've heard this for a long time. Democrats saying, we're bad, they're worse. Republicans are saying we're bad, they're worse. They're both right. So, unfortunately, I think we've got a very challenging couple of years coming up for us. Let me note, by the way, my email address is JWLARK, JWLARK, at Virginia, spell out the word Virginia, .edu. For some of you know, I'm a professor. I didn't want to have to work for a living. I'm a university professor. You know, we like to say being a university professor means working for a living. If I can be of any assistance to you, please let me know. If you have any questions about what's going on at the national party level, I'm happy to help out. By the way, I'd like to start with Joseph Bishop Henchman, who is doing a great job. I've known Joe for many, many years. I was delighted when he was elected to the LNC. He's doing a great job, and I'd like to So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions. Let me know. Yes, sir.
Can you get libertarians banner underneath that Virginia National Championship banner?
That's an interesting point. What he's referring to is the University of Virginia, where I teach. The men's basketball team won the national championship. As it turns out, I was actually there completely by accident because a friend of mine is a former basketball coach had gifted me tickets to the Final Four. I'm also a Virginia Tech alumnus, so it was with mixed feelings when I watched the University of Virginia win the national championship as a Virginia Tech alumnus. It was bittersweet, shall we say. So, anyway, I don't know. By the way, there was a bit of flack, incidentally, the University of Virginia basketball team is not going to go to the White House to meet with President Trump, and there is they said it was scheduling problems. I don't know if that's true.
But nice dinner would be nice.
Yeah, okay, I can do that. Further questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Are you seeing any changes in student interest based upon the kind of value index?
For those of you who don't know, to the extent I have a speciality in terms of my work in the Liberty Movement, it is with student organizations. I've been involved in building libertarian campus organizations for the better part of 35 years these days. I'm just getting good at it. I think we are still seeing an advance that more and more students are learning what the libertarian perspective is about, and they're getting an uncaricatured view of what it's about, and they're embracing it. And I think that to some extent that's being drowned out because of what you're hearing in terms of young people embracing, say, Medicare for All or the Green New Deal. I think we are still advancing, but we have to realize that in so many cases there are just not enough of us who are in positions to influence young people. There are not enough libertarian academics. And by the way, once they get to college, we're already way behind. The great frontier, of course, assuming we don't get their parents, the great frontier is high schools. Unfortunately, for various reasons, it's hard for us to get into the high schools in terms of organizing. But I do see some very good sites. Interestingly enough, internationally, and for those of you who don't know, I have the honor of serving on the Board of Advisors to Students for Liberty. I actually do a fair amount of speaking internationally. I was in Mexico a couple of months ago. Next month I'll be in Spain and then in Australia. We are seeing some very nice advances among young people with respect to libertarianism. But in that case, you know, it's like when you go from one to two, you're doubling. It's sort of like they had small bases there, so our numbers are increasing substantially simply because there was so much fertile ground to plow. The United States, again, I think we, with respect to young people, I think we are moving forward, but to some extent that's being drowned out, again, because there are a couple of major things, and you have national politicians, particularly Bernie Sanders, who is making a lot of noise, and a lot of young people who still haven't learned how to count yet.
You think I'm jesting?
haven't realized that, you know, this thing called Medicare for All, it's going to cost a hell of a lot. P.J. O'Rourke's wonderful line, by the way. If you think healthcare is expensive now, wait till you see what it costs when it's free. I think that applies. So the answer, my long-winded answer, is yes, I think we're moving forward, but it's still painfully slow.
Sorry, one quick follow-up.
Sure, great.
Has Students for Liberty changed their emphasis on which platform they're focusing on for social media?
I think they have. Of course, I being old, you know, I'm one of these people who... These people, they're young people, they're modern technology. I'm not the right person to ask whether or not that's true. My impression is they're actually trying to lead as opposed to follow, at least from what I hear. But there has been something of a change, I think, with student growth. The biggest change, frankly, is I think they've gathered most of the low-hanging fruit. Now they're trying to actually change minds on college campuses, as opposed to finding people who already agree with us. That's a much harder task. Yes, sir.
So I represent the party at Baltimore City. Do you know any student groups in the city that I should be reaching out to?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay.
By the way, one of the hardest things to do is to tell student representatives on college campuses, please keep in touch with us so that we can do networking for you. Please, if you're graduating and your group is, you're changing leadership, let me know. It's like pulling teeth to get them to do. By the way, they're not terribly distinguished in that regard from libertarians at the adult level. No, unfortunately, I'd be happy to help out in whatever fashion I can. If I come up with context, I usually send them on to Brother Johnson.
I know there's a group at Towson University. I'm not sure if anyone in the city.
There has been group at Towson on and off for several years. This is one of the biggest problems, is that many of our groups will actually have a contact who will pop up and may actually do very, very good work. But to the extent that they actually have groups, they have very short half-lives. And it's really, really hard. The biggest disadvantage we have in many cases with respect to college groups is there's no advisor to keep things going. My group at the University of Virginia, Students for Individual Liberty, which I founded when I was a graduate student, we're approaching our 33rd year of business. Why? Well, kindly old Doc Lark, once he got his PhD, actually stayed in the area. And since I have a fatherly interest, a motherly interest, a delivering physician interest in the existence of the group, I'm there to help keep it going. But in so many cases, you have student organizations. It's not really an organization. You have one or two volunteers who do all the work, and because they're willing to do the work, other people will come forward and help out. But once those volunteers stop, the organization usually stops. Some cases, it's a graceful glide path. In some cases, it's crash and burn. Further questions, comments? You want to hear somebody interesting? Is that right? Okay. Again, my email address is jwlark@virginia.edu. I'm happy to help out in whatever fashion I can. As I tell my friends, consider me like a pack mule, strong back, weak mind. Happy to help out where I can. And again, thanks to all of you. You may think I'm just saying this because I happen to be here. I love coming up to get together with my friends with the Libertarian Party of Maryland. What you've managed to do here in, shall we say, hostile territory is most impressive. You always make me feel welcome. Usually there's a beer waiting for me, and that'll get me traveling great distances anyway.
I have to appreciate.
Can we get this pet of beer?
I have to appreciate you when I put on your badge.
I just put my badge on and said something went endless. Okay, yeah, that's good. I like beer too. So, I have been known to fancy a beer on occasion. Again, it's a great pleasure and a great honor to be here. So thanks for
your time. Thank you, Dr. Lark. And just to corroborate what Dr. Lark was saying about the 2020 election, the Republican Party now is trying to kick us off in Texas by making the threshold twice as hard as what it is. And the Texas petition is one of the most difficult in the nation. And frankly, I don't know if we will have the money to do it if we get kicked off in 2020. They were able to get us kicked off if we were not able to run candidates in Arizona last year. And it cost us to get back on in Ohio $250,000. 2 years ago. So these guys play hardball. And the Democrats kicked the Greens off in Montana because the 2018 last November's U.S. Senate race was real close. And they're giving us the runaround in Maine, the Democrats, as far as getting back ballot access there. This is the kind of crap. This is what kind of irritates me. This is not saying this to anybody here, but when I hear libertarians whine, piss, and moan about, we don't win elections. if we're so weak and ineffectual, then why are the D's and the R's working so hard to kick us off the ballot? Gary Johnson got 4.5 million votes. That is equivalent in Virginia, 13 electoral votes. Okay? And as Chuck Mears was saying, you take Gary Johnson votes in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Florida, you give those her, Hillary Clinton would be president and not Donald Trump. So we do have some, you know, we do have some electoral muscle, even if we're not winning major elections. So let's do keep that in mind. Having said that, let us now move on to the state party program. The program committee met on April the 9th at Stu Sims' house, and we do have a proposed change. Dr. Glazer, would you read that change, please?
Under state government, change the fifth bullet from, as it says now, end exclusionary ballot access laws to foster a strong and vibrant democratic process. Change that sentence to end exclusionary ballot access laws and encourage ranked choice voting to foster a strong and vibrant democratic process. And it was approved unanimously at that meeting, and Eric, I believe, gave us a handout with that same words.
Correct. Mr. Blitz, since it was your proposal, would you like to speak to it?
Sure. So, ranked choice voting is a method by which you vote by assigning a priority to your candidate, a preference to the candidate, and then, and as if one gets over 50%, then that's the candidate that wins. But if no candidate gets over 50%, then the lowest candidate
the lowest vote total, their second choice gets allocated. And the value in that, in having voters assign preferences, is it has them start thinking about the values behind candidates rather than just the horse race. And that works to our advantage because we argue principles. We're mostly about ideas. Thinking of Gary Johnson, one of the reasons he was particularly weak in 2016, on, in my opinion, on responses, is he really had very weak answers on the horse race questions, which is all media really wants to ask. And then when he had a chance to argue substance, he was kind of thrown off balance. Our candidates are mostly interested in running because they believe in certain values, certain principles. Our campaigns are better if the electoral process is focused on ideas. So ranked choice voting was something that I worked on in the legislature this year. It was a trial balloon project in Montgomery County, working with Fair Vote and a coalition of, as you can imagine, out of Montgomery County, it was largely left-to-center groups. So we got the group of delegates and senators from Montgomery County, that caucus, to support it. That was most of the work. Unfortunately, local bills take a lot more, actually more work than a regular bill because it's so time intensive with respect to the initial stage. We got through that part of the process. Unfortunately, it was unsuccessful. And we also had a second bill that we objected to out of Brooke Learman in Baltimore City because she added an open primary to it, which really sabotages the system, and we just generally support it. So I listed four points that I think are the advantages of ranked choice voting. It's not a cure-all. No electoral system is. You still have to get out there and knock on doors and do the work, get out there on social media. But I think it's a better system than a first-past-post-plurality system. So I can answer any questions that you've got.
Hasn't ranked choice voting already been instituted in Maine?
Yes.
What has been the consequence for third parties there?
As far as I can tell, mixed. But I don't have.
It costs Bruce Pacina's seat.
Sorry?
It costs one of the U.S. House members Bruce Pacina's
seat. Oh, okay.
Once it went down to the second level, he was ahead after the first count. Once it went to the second count, he wound up losing.
Hmm. There are some arguments, especially by people that really want approval voting or some other alternative voting system against ranked choice voting, saying it hurts third parties. I'm not convinced of those arguments. Largely, they're speculation as to the impact of lesser of two evil voting.
Any other questions? Anybody in particular object to this proposed change? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the change to the state party program say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you, Mr. Blitz and Dr. Laser. Time for the executive board elections. We have to do this in two parts because, according to the state constitution, the chair must be elected separately.
We're not a recognized party.
We have to bring that up.
I'll take that chair.
You'll have to follow our constitution. We amended our constitution to
recall it. We've
changed our constitution. Okay, therefore, we will do the chair first. I will let you bring up the vice chair, Ms. Woodward.
Is there anyone that would like to be chair?
I will be chair.
Anybody?
Anybody at all.
Please, please.
Is there a second for Mr. Bob Johnson?
All those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Woodward. Okay, there are six remaining spots on the executive board. We generally meet once a month, usually at thanks to the graciousness of Stu Sims and his wife. It's in a central location in Laurel. meetings tend to be about an hour and a half, 2 hours. There are different positions which are allocated amongst the board members, namely vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. And nominations are now open for those six positions.
I would like to nominate David Dell, Commander of the County. Okay.
Mr. Linder?
I'm going to nominate myself.
I'm going to nominate Robert Glazer for secretary.
I'm going to nominate Sue Sims.
Oh. Yeah. I'm going to nominate Mr. Linder.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? I would like to nominate Scott Spencer.
Okay.
Do you accept?
Sure.
Okay. Anybody, any other nominations?
I'd like to nominate Eric Bliss.
Okay. Any other nominations?
I didn't hear. Did Eric accept?
He did not accept.
Okay, nominations are therefore closed. We can nominate as a slate with a two-thirds of vote of approval. All those in favor of the slate say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, slate is voted upon. We will meet briefly after the meeting.
I think it takes two-thirds. One to say we would approve the election as a slate. And then secondly, to say we want this
slate.
Okay. Yeah, we have to. I think the Constitution says two-thirds vote is all we need.
Whatever
slate.
I thought it was three-fifths vote.
Well, we got to need it.
Whatever it is.
He did two-thirds, I checked yesterday.
It is two-thirds?
Yes. Okay, very good. Thank you. New business. There are several proposed changes to the state party constitution. Dr. Glazer has two, and so we will start with you.
Okay. I'm just typing, sorry. We're doing the constitutional amendments now?
Yes, correct.
Okay, I have two. The first one is simply to replace the word program with the word platform every place it appears in our Constitution, which is 14 times.
Is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Okay, Dr. Glazer, go ahead.
Well, just briefly, I don't really care personally about this, but everybody else in the libertarian movement seems to think, just like the national has a platform, they think that we have a platform, but we don't have a platform. We have a program, and I really don't care about which word it is, because nobody knows what we're talking about when we use the word program, but they do know what they call it a platform, even though it's not a platform. So I'm just trying to make it the commonly used word.
Team
Long.
Yeah, question. I thought we also had a platform, and the reason program was put in there was...
I don't know what that would be. It's not in the Constitution.
Okay.
On the website, they have the national platform.
No, I mean a state platform. I vaguely remember when the motion was made to have a program, that they said we want something that can be changed more frequently than platform use. And that would deal with, transitory things that come up.
Did you want to speak against too?
No, I'm just asking a question. Because if we don't have a separate platform...
We don't.
And there's no other objection to changing it, then...
Does anybody wish to speak for or against the motion?
I'll speak for it. Just to mention that in working with the legislature, I'm asked all the time about what a platform is. And usually I can get away with just saying what it is without calling it a program. But then when I send them to the website, there's a little bit of confusion. Nobody in the political world thinks of it as anything other than a platform. It's just, that's the way they think of it.
So we're just talking about verbiage here?
Yes. Really just calling what we got to a platform instead of a program.
Okay. Again, to remind people, just to make sure you know what you're doing, you're doing it deliberately. The idea was that the issues that were addressed in the program were more often transitory positions, things that, this is not necessarily what we ultimately want to see, but for now we're asking for this.
Right.
And that's why they use the program. Otherwise, they're afraid people look at it and say, the platform, the Libertarian Party wants to, reduce marijuana laws or something, or you know, or legalize marijuana but not other drugs or something.
Get
you
I see.
To your point, I mean, I understand you saying, like, on a platform we might say we want to legalize or we want to end the drug war in its entirety, but with our program, we're saying, well, let's focus on one issue at a time. But on the other hand, I think it's important that we kind of have these stepping stones because when you tell the average voter on the street, hey, we'll work for this, that, and the other thing, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. And that's the biggest problem I think we have is that our views, although not radical to ourselves, they seem radical to your up and down Republicans and Democrats. So is there anything in our program?
I want to keep it to specifically to the
motion. So in our program, is there anything that we would consider anti-libertarian?
You're going off the reservation on the question. You're not being germane to the question.
Well,
you're more a platform or a program, not the definition.
I don't know how to phrase it.
The answer, I do think it's a germane question because if things in the program now, you know, if the answer to his question is yes, then you may vote differently on the main question than you would if the answer was no. Unfortunately, because I don't memorize the program. But there must be something. Is there something in there on taxes? Does it say you want to reduce taxes?
Eric, is this our program?
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
And that's the recent amendment we just did.
I think maybe taxes would have been a better example. That you know, if we would not put in the program, we want to end all taxation. Whereas we might say something like, we want to replace the income tax.
And David, could further address your point, like the platform program committee amendments that we just did. So when we have the program committee, that's when this debate about whether it conflicts with or is consistent with our five laws or our constitution or libertarianism or the national platform, those kind of debates are had, and then sometimes it's other issues.
So then would the program committee then become, with this amendment, become the platform committee?
Yes.
Okay, so then the platform committee then vote later on to change anything that we deem outside of the Libertarian Party as a whole and work on that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
In other words, if this motion comes to you. Sorry,
I just want to say, in other words, if this motion passes, you can expect the debate over the platform to be different than the way we debated it.
Understood. Thank you.
I'll just comment. The last sentence in the preamble of the current program reads, "This program represents our first steps toward expanding and protecting our freedoms." So it says these are the first steps in the program itself.
Yeah.
Which would be the platform.
Okay.
If
it changes the platform, there may be an argument, let's delete that sentence.
So that will be part of the platform committee.
That's right.
Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet? Anybody else who has? Dean, David? Any other questions or anything?
No.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Memorial
nay.
Amendment to change number two, Dr. Glaser.
This has to do with our nominations for public office. I'll read those sentences in a second. Basically, it's just adding three words. And those three words are accepting judicial nominations. So this is the sentence in section 5 and section 7.1, which currently reads, it will read, at the time of filing and continuously through the date of the corresponding general election, accepting judicial nominations. All candidates of the Maryland Libertarian Party to public office must be registered libertarian as defined in the qualifications for central committee membership stated in Article 4, Section 2. So it's just those three new words, accepting judicial comments.
Is there a second for this motion?
Second.
Dr. Blazer, would you like to speak to
you? This was the case we had this past year with April Adam
Blue,
where it doesn't mean that we have to vote. We can still vote for whoever we want to nominate. But we lost a court case because our constitution says that all of our nominees must be registered libertarian, she was not registered libertarian. The Central Committee knew she was not registered libertarian, but yet was willing to vote for
her. And we've also briefly discussed the difference in judicial nominations, elections compared to all others.
I'll let you speak to that if you will.
Okay. Or in general, with judicial ones are a little bit different in that you have to get on the ballot through nominated by a political party, but you're not listed with a party label on the ballot. And we had filed a lawsuit arguing that this is a nonpartisan election, and the court didn't see it that way. Their attitude was, since you have to get nominated by a recognized political party, it is a partisan election. Ms. Adam Lee was registered as a Democrat, and we nominated her. The lawyers went through our constitution and our minutes. You know, these things are important. And they caught it. They caught the technicality, and they were able to successfully get her kicked off. We fought it in state court and lost, and she tried one shot at the federal level and lost that too. So, does anybody, Dean?
Yeah, I'd like to speak against the motion. I think that the rules should be the same for the judiciary. In fact, I can't remember if I abstained or voted against April on those grounds. I think that, it's too bad for April that it was used as a technicality to kick her off the ballot, but she wasn't qualified under our constitution.
Anybody?
I'll speak in favor of it. So, a judicial nominee is not supposed to speak on as a partisan. In fact, one of the complaints that we had in proposing what the sitting judges did to Leo Domowski is, instead of just saying in their campaign literature, vote for them, something positive, they said, vote against Leo Domowski, but here's the real rub. Then they put libertarian. Now, how is a judge supposed to be viewed as neutral when they win an election in opposing a libertarian? Under current law, they are partisan races, but the sitting judges are nominated by both the Republican and the Democratic Party. We have used that to start nominating judges to allow an escape valve, because that's the only way non-establishment interests really can challenge the sitting judges. And, you know, we have two nominees this cycle, and we have two cycles now, who have run for judge, and they could speak to this. A judicial nominee shouldn't be measured by their partisan allegiance. That doesn't mean we, like someone just said, that we have to nominate them if they... I do believe he is going against April, and that's fine with me. If they don't at least give some sense that they are going to be helpful to the Libertarian Party, well, then I'd probably vote for them too, against them too. But we shouldn't make it as a standard. It's not a standard for the Republican and Democrat. Both parties nominate the judicial nominees. Each candidate is nominated by two parties and could be nominated by three or four parties if they wanted to. They just don't come and seek our nomination. Probably because Dean would vote against.
Mr. Ashwell, you ran for a Republican. All three of your competitors.
All three of my competitors were Republicans.
And were they also cross-nominated?
They were all cross-nominated.
How about you, Bill?
Same thing.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to...
And it frankly made it difficult to campaign not being able to identify yourself by your party, because you have to sort of argue your ideas from your partisan perspective without standing up and saying, I'm a Republican or I'm a Libertarian or I'm a Democrat. There was a lot of talk, well, who's this and who's that? And I was telling everybody, they're all Republicans. Keep that in mind, they're all Republicans. We went to a big Democratic function during the campaign, and somebody tried to remove me from the Democrat function because I'm not a Democrat, I'm a Libertarian. And I said, well, wait a minute, first of all, there's a campaign issue, we're not supposed to talk about that. And I reminded them that all three of the Republicans were at the Lincoln Reagan dinner at the same time that I was at the Democratic function, and so they should keep that in mind anyway. But I'm in favor of the amendment also, because we got jammed on that, it shouldn't have.
someone who hasn't spoken yet. By the way, just for those who aren't aware, the process for amendments to the state constitution, a majority vote only gets the ball rolling on this. What happens, we get a committee of the chair, one other, or some executive board member, and at least three such committee members to discuss the issue. It's then printed, whether favorable or not, it's then printed in the newsletter prior to the next central committee meeting, and at the next central committee meeting, then it takes a three-quarters vote for it to pass. So this is just step one of the process. Just wanted to bring that to your attention. Does anybody else have any questions or...
Other questions.
Yeah, I just like to say that all the arguments that have been on the side in favor of the motion are arguments that are not going to be affected by this change. I predict that if we're in the same situation again, they're going to make the same case again. It's true they'll have one minor argument removed from it, but I predict that the outcome will be exactly the same.
Anybody else? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes. Okay, amendment to proposal number three, Dina Mott.
Okay, when Bob called me about the interpretation of the clause that I'm going to suggest we amend, I realized the reason interpretation was necessary is because the state law has changed and the circumstances have changed from the time that this was originally written. But in Article 4, Section 2 of the Constitution are the rules under which you can be a member of the Central Committee, rules you've all heard earlier today when you were asked if you wanted to join the Central Committee. And it's currently, I'm not going to read the whole thing, I don't have it in front of me, but if people need the whole thing, Robert can read it. But it's, the words appear, is registered as a libertarian unless registration as a libertarian is not permitted. At the time that was put in, it was when we were usually not a recognized party, and therefore simply trying to have registered as a libertarian was sufficient to let you be on the Central Committee. However, we're now usually a recognized party, and therefore I wanted to change the wording, and I'm proposing that we now say, is registered as a libertarian, and add the words, or other-libertarian, which is what happens now when you try to register as a libertarian, and to strike the phrase, unless registration as a libertarian is not permitted. It was originally my thought...
Let me get a second. Is there a second for this motion? Sorry. I'll second it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Originally, I had intended to leave in the words unless registration of a libertarian is not permitted in case we change the law again the way it used to be, but then I said that's kind of a negative way of looking at things. If we need to change the Constitution later, we'll change it. Yeah. So now it would be, it says, to be a member of the Central Committee, you must be registered as a libertarian or other-libertarian so that... We would cover what I expect to be the likely circumstances under the current law and recent law, and hopefully future law.
Mr. Woolworth, did you have a...
I'm just wondering, like, is it possible that that other-libertarian phraseology can change and then be...
Yeah, it's possible. It could go back to the way it was before. But but I'm hoping that we're going to be back on the ballot before that happens. So.
Right. Wondering what
the gain is. Yeah, the gain is that I want to maintain the intent of the original wording, which is that you have to have at least tried to register as a libertarian. And the reason for doing that is multiple. First off, it means you're serious about the Libertarian Party. You would have been a libertarian if they allowed you to. But also, it means that the boards, local boards, are constantly hearing people coming in, 20,000 of us coming in and saying, register me as a libertarian. And when they, and then they have to say, no, sorry, can't do it. I'll just make a note that you have to be a libertarian.
I would also just point out, too, about 10, 12 years ago, we were within one registration of the Green Party, and we're more than double with it. I don't think they've even cracked 10,000 yet. That's due to the constant, the running of the candidates and the activism we've done, how our numbers have gone up considerably compared to those. So the identification is important.
Yeah. Also, the practical difference, really, between the two under current circumstances is that if you're registered as an independent, as opposed to other libertarian, that you technically, under the current rules, an independent person who doesn't want to be registered with any political party, including the Libertarians, could be a member of the Libertarian Central Committee. I don't think that's right.
Robert?
I'm just thinking about this because I considered it. But this, if the word, this is phraseology other-libertarian. That's not codified anywhere to my knowledge, and they've only begun doing them relatively recently. Prior to that, they simply made us unaffiliated, which is when this original constitution was written. So I'm just not sure what would happen. We're really at the whim of the Board of Elections if they continue to use this phraseology, other national libertarian. So I'm not sure what the fix is to this. But if they stop using the word other national libertarian and they just make us unaffiliated, I'm not sure what this means.
Mr. Sims first, and then David.
Well, I was just going to comment that we can either add language that says or move to another status. But I think to address Robert's issue, Dean addressed it, which is we would just simply change our constitution again to
a law. Yeah, it takes like a year to change your constitution.
I still think it would be up. That's just my two cents. Mr. Gold.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out the words to say. So, like, what are we right now? Registered? We're registered other libertarian, right? Mm-hmm. So under the Constitution, like, none of us can be members of the Libertarian Party of Maryland?
There is no
we can't. The Constitution is
current.
No. I'm sorry?
Well,
two people were speaking at the same time.
Technically, if I may, right now, if you're other-green, if you're independent or non-affiliated, you can be a member of the Libertarian Civil Committee.
Okay.
Okay.
I wonder what Dean thinks about this change. It's going to be words, add the two words, if possible. Is registered as a libertarian or other-libertarian, if possible.
Okay, well, again, if we're going
to... permitted or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if we're getting to the intention, we're trying to the intention here, is that you have to have tried to register as a libertarian. And if that's what you're concerned about, that this wording is, you know, not getting to the point, then I should suggest the wording should be has tried to register as a libertarian but was not allowed to. Then that would be right, clear, and to the point.
But that will make every one of us in this room no longer Central Committee members because we haven't reapplied.
No, but you applied initially. In other words, you didn't send them a letter saying, yeah, fine, I'm no longer a libertarian. They said to you, we're taking you off the libertarian list. I didn't ask you to do that. I don't approve of your doing that.
Mr. Blitz, two things. One, you might want to consider other or others libertarian because the Board of Election uses both. And to Robert's point, it is not part of the statutory law, and it is merely an accommodation of the Board of Election. And I think one danger is that, like we found with Abel's lawsuit, that the Republicans and Democrats, when they have an incentive to get somebody off the ballot, will use technicalities, and they could use the technicality that the state central committee had not been properly formed or a quorum not met because of an argument over this kind of standard. And so while I generally really want anybody that's on the central committee member to be registered as a libertarian, in the period that we don't have registered libertarians as an official party status, I'm a little worried about restraining it just because it opens up the opportunities for arguments that, if I was seeing a whole bunch of Republicans or Democrats trying to take over the party, then I'd probably have a different opinion. It would be worth it to me. But the State Central Committee is basically, we have to be able to get on it and stay on it. But my guess is that most of the people that I see here have been on it for in excess of 10 years, 15 years. So it's probably not a real issue, yet the change to the language could create an argument that I'd like to avoid. So that would be my argument against it. I'm not strongly against it. It's just my caution. The reality is we're not going to face that again until we get reestablished. We're not going to nominate candidates until we get reestablished. And therefore, we will be able to register as or be registered libertarian. On the other hand, the stipulation with the Board of Elections right now is to maintain us as others, this is involving the lawsuit, as others or other libertarians, and that at the end of the litigation, they would convert us all back to libertarian. However, they don't have to. And somebody could come in and object and say, I wasn't a party to that. And Republicans and Democrats, if they were smart, could challenge it and basically have us re-register everybody. So just be a little cautious on that one. Because we've got a stipulation right now with the Board of Elections, but it's not worth a whole lot. It's an agreement between counties.
Oh, Mr. Sobel, just a matter of a procedure, does a nay vote table future discussion on this topic?
We can work that up at the next step.
At the next meeting.
We have seen it.
So,
okay, well, if as I said, I struck the wording unless registration of the libertarian is not permitted only to try to be optimistic. If it's going to prevent my proposal from passing, then I will delete as a friendly amendment, retain that language, in which case all of these arguments that are being used about the technicality about how it would be used against us become moot.
Is there any objection to taking on the friendly amendment?
In other words, the new proposal would be to simply insert it after the phrase is registered as a libertarian, to insert the phrase or other dash libertarian. And then the succeeding wording, unless registration as a libertarian is not permitted, would remain.
Does anybody care to discuss Dean's amendment?
How would I just speak against the amendment? The more I think about it, this is just going to cause potential problems. And the sentence as it stands right now reads, the member is registered as a libertarian unless registration as a libertarian is not permitted and is not currently registered as affiliated with any other political party. I think that's perfectly fine the way it is. We haven't inscribed other dash libertarian or others dash libertarian. They can't be registered anything else. I just think it's going to not complicate matters unnecessarily.
Except that there's a substantive difference between my wording and the current wording. Under the current wording, someone who is listed as other dash green can become a central committee member of our party. And under my proposed wording, they can't.
Are we really worried about people from
the
services?
But wouldn't that be affiliated with another political party? It
says affiliated. That's what's not clear. The state is saying we don't recognize any political party other than the Republicans and the Democrats. And that it's a courtesy that we're making a note that, yeah, you did try to register. Yes, you did try to register green. Yes,
Mr. Dole. Okay, is there any objection to taking the vote? Hearing none, all those in, would you reread the friendly amendment, Dr. Blazer?
Just adding the two words or other dash libertarian if there is registered as a libertarian.
So would you read it from scratch?
The member is registered as a libertarian or other dash libertarian unless registration as a libertarian is not permitted and is not currently registered as affiliated with any other political party.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Let's see a hand vote. It's probably nay, but I just want to get a hand. All those in favor? 8. All those against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Tie, I believe tie fails.
Correct.
Motion fails. We are up against the clock, and Angela will probably want to shoot us if we're not out of here by 4 o'clock because she has a second job. Therefore, Mr. Blitz, if it's okay with you, maybe your proposed amendment will be the first order of new business at the next Central Committee meeting.
Isn't there supposed to be a constitutional amendment committee that was then?
Yeah, from the beginning committee too.
But out of respect, I think we ought to wind it up instead of just fighting up against.
Anybody doesn't want their name badge, please leave it here.
Just the plastic. Keep the card.
Angela, I understand there's a distillery. Is also a bar downstairs, or is the bar the distillery?
Yeah, it's a Houston area, and they have, I believe, a Houston
meditation room in the back as well. You guys are also able to use the bar downstairs.
Okay. I will certainly be at the bar. Hopefully, those of you join. But potential announcements.
During we need to appoint the committee that's going to review and make a recommendation on the two constitutional items.
Yeah, let me just get the announcements out of the way. The proposed date for the picnic is Saturday, August the 10th. The date's been the same place that we've been having at it for years. It's not etched in stone, but that's potential. Eric, the volunteer event in Charleston, June 8th. Anne Arundel County meeting, second Monday in May. Baltimore City meeting is the third Monday.
Yeah, May 20th.
May 20th, that's where Errol and those people will be speaking. That is at the Govins Library. The Anne Arundel event is always at Libations on Veterans Highway in Millersville. Check the calendar. Does anybody else have an announcement?
Baltimore County meeting on May 19th.
Okay, at?
Pizza John's in Essex.
Okay, I will try to be there. Indeed.
The Libertarian Party, or the Anne Arundel County Subcommittee, hopes to be in the Annapolis Memorial Day Parade, so if you'd like to come down and join us, we'd be more than happy to see you.
What's the date?
Memorial Day. I'll have our Facebook event as soon as possible.
You made something.
We're still working on our float, so...
It's actually
going to
be on Memorial Day.
Yes, sir.
Will it be posted online?
Yes, sir. We should have a Facebook event up. We're just working on our float, and hopefully we'll have our... paperwork filled out to be part of the parade, but it should be kind of hopefully like a wood.
Just a quick correction. May 17th was the Baltimore County meeting. I
thank you.
Totally don't know what day for that lunch.
No problem. Thank you for letting me know. Mr. Sims.
So we're way ahead of the game, but we've already started looking at March 14th of next year for the spring convention, hopefully in Frederick, so that is the tentative date that we are working with, and we wanted to let people know far in advance, and also since it's an election year and Memorial Day weekend gives roughly 2 months from when we select delegates, so we have to select, we had to come in a little bit early, so that's the date we are looking at for your information.
Okay. I will also add, we do have the two proposed constitutional amendments for the committee. I've got to be there, at least one member of the executive board, Dr. Glazer, any other members of the executive board, and at least two members of the central committee who are not on the executive board. We need to participate. Anybody interested?
What are you doing about
it, Bill? Just briefly, we're going to discuss whether we agree to the proposed constitutional amendments or not. Okay, John and Tom.
You have another executive board member.
And
we'll
meet right after.
Too late.
Anything else before we adjourn?
I got Tom Nashville. Who else?
John.
Who?
John.
And you?
Dean
Amato.
What?
You don't want to do it?
You don't want to do it?
I didn't volunteer.
I volunteered you.
What?
So it's two ED board members and three others?
One chair, one non-chair ED member, and then three central committee members.
Okay, well, then I'm out. I'm not ED.
Dean, you're higher.
We almost have three central committee members?
Correct.
We only have two.
Right, that's why Dean's the third.
So Dean is the only three?
You can volunteer.
If you need three, I'll do it, but I don't need three.
Anything else before we adjourn?
I have lesson plate forms if anybody wants to get in, and I'm still an MDLP cap that's going to get out soon.
Thank you all, and this meeting is adjourned. I hope to see you downstairs.
Oh, good job.